Be seated, please. So when I saw Paul come in with his red Georgia Bulldog polo shirt, and you look mighty fine in it, by the way, I went over to him, laid my hand on his shoulder, and whispered, "Forgiveness is only a few minutes away." So let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this festive day. We give you thanks for the gift of your Holy Spirit and how that gift enables us, empowers us to be in you, in you, in us. Come now and be in the words of my mouth. Be in our hearts and our listening. Let us hear and receive what you would have us hear and receive. And Lord, may it glorify the Father and be a great blessing to each of us, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
It is a festive day. I've been looking forward to Pentecost for weeks now. And I just want to share a few things about Jesus, and I think what he models at our baptism, and he models for us, and how important the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, how important it is in loving one another in the church and outside the church, how important the Holy Spirit is to equip us for ministries. And I'll just go ahead and say it. If you're building a house, would you rather use power tools or hand tools? It's power tools, right? And that is what the Holy Spirit does. It empowers us, it equips us in our ministries, to grow our ministries. And what I have discovered is that working of the Holy Spirit very gently, I think, within us. Some traditions, you know, in Acts, this is a Hollywood version. You know, with the fire and the violent wind and the speaking in tongues. And by the way, you all did it quite well. Thank you, Shannon, for helping organize that. But there is, for me, there is this other Pentecost in Scripture. And it is a gentler, it is a more contemplative, and yet as powerful moment of Jesus giving the Holy Spirit. And it's that place, it's the first post-resurrection day. All the disciples are huddled out of fear that they may be next. Jesus comes in and says, peace be with you and do not be afraid. If I were there, I would have looked at Jesus and I said, really? After all, what has just happened? But he keeps saying that. And then there's that place in Scripture. Here comes the Pentecost moment. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathes on them. This is the Ruach of God, the wind of God, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Right from the get-go, receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is what Scripture reveals to us at Jesus' baptism. Remember last year I mentioned that Jesus is modeling for us. Good morning, Angus. It is good, so good to see you, brother. There's a place right up here. You can keep me straight, all right? Good. It's always wonderful to have you here. Yeah, thanks. This is Angus, if you've not met him, one of the beloved brothers and sons of ours and of Jesus. So Jesus, I mentioned that Scripture reveals, I believe, that it says that Jesus emptied himself in Philippians. He emptied himself of his divine nature. So what that tells me is that somehow Jesus and the Father made this agreement before he even came to earth that he would always minister in his human nature, not his divine nature. Remember that moment in the garden where he said that he could have called on legions of angels to put a stop to what was about to happen in the crucifixion? And Jesus said, no, this must happen for Scripture to be fulfilled. Legions of angels, it was thousands and thousands. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going to break my promise with Abba. And so it's at his baptism. It's at his baptism when the disciples of John are asking John about, are you the Messiah? And he says, and here's what John says. John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to baptize you. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so that's exactly what happens. Jesus comes out of the River Jordan dripping wet, and this Holy Spirit, this dove, right, comes and lands upon Jesus. And then the voice of God, with you I am well pleased. And so I wondered for years, what is this Holy Spirit? I mean, this is good Hollywood stuff. Cecil DeMille would really, I mean, he could do a lot with this story at this moment, right? But what is actually happening? And so one, for sure, Jesus is modeling for us, those of us who don't always get it right in our rebelliousness and our disobedience, our sinfulness, to go through those baptismal waters and to rise up clean and refreshed. That's what we do, I believe, at confession every Sunday morning. I love that about the Episcopal Church, that we stand or we kneel and we receive the Lord's forgiveness, and we go back out into the world cleaned and washed once again. Isn't that good? And so, but Jesus has no sin, right? And so he's modeling that for us. And so there's more going on here. And it's like, what is that more? And as I began to listen, it has to do with Jesus being fully human and fully divine. Jesus being fully divine, there's no more room for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? He's overflowing because it says the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus in Colossians. And so what is the Holy Spirit doing showing up? And I believe that it is filling Jesus in his humanness, in his humanity. Okay, so if you could just assume there's truth in that for a moment. And so this is when his public ministry begins. Remember, the word Christ in Hebrew means, all of you that speak in different languages, means anointed one. And where was the anointing for Jesus? It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And in Luke 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, kind of affirming what just happened at his baptism. And then again at verse 14 of chapter 4, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returns to Galilee and begins to teach. And then again in verse 18, Jesus is at the synagogue. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah and he begins to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Do you see, three times in that chapter, it's lifting out that Jesus is full of the Spirit. In his divine nature, he already was, but now in his human nature, modeling for us how important it is for that Holy Spirit to dwell and for us to receive that. So, let me slow down for just a moment. My wife would probably be shaking her head. She's, yeah, okay. This was one of those pivot points for me in my journey of faith. The year is 1990. I'm in my third year as the new rector, pastor of St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Newport, Vermont. And if you don't know where that is, it's just a few miles from Derby Line. Now you know, the northeast corner of Vermont, a Canadian border town. And it's Easter season. And there was I don't remember the day or moment, but what in my prayer, I began to hear, not the voice of God, but these thoughts coming to me. John, I want you to invite my people on Pentecost. I want you to invite my people to come up to the altar rail for the laying on of hands and this gentle yet powerful receiving of the Holy Spirit. They need this. This is how I continue to be one with my people, and they are one with me. It's that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I can remember, here is what the voice of fear sounds like. And you may remember this from last Pentecost, as Millie and I talked about this. And I reminded Jesus that I was an Episcopal priest. As if he didn't already know that, right? And we don't do that kind of thing. We don't do this laying on of hands. And truly, that is the voice of fear right there. And so we go on, and so we didn't. Fear won out. And the next year, we're on Easter season. And guess what begins to happen again during my prayers? It was like, John, Pentecost Sunday's coming up. I want you to invite my people up to the altar rail for the laying on of hands and the imparting of the Holy Spirit, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in this gentle yet wonderful, powerful way. And my wife would tell you, my husband is fairly consistent sometimes. And so I said no. I did not remind Jesus that I was an Episcopal priest. Okay, we'd work through that. And so there was this silence. And then again, coming into my thoughts, here was the life-changing moment. John, whose church is this anyway? Whose church is this anyway, right? It's not my church. It's not your church. This is our home church, right? But this is the Lord's house. And the Lord said, I want my people to be refreshed. I want them to be refilled with this Holy Spirit that empowers ministry, that helps to love one another in the midst of all that is going on in the world. And so we did. You know, part of my fear was that some of those manifestations of the Spirit would happen. I could just see someone coming up, and they're kneeling at the altar, and the Spirit is so powerful that they flop over, that they rest in the Spirit like those Pentecostal folks do. And someone would call 911. I mean, that was my first thought, right? I mean, just how silly can one be? And or that people would start jabbering in tongues, and what do we do with that? But God... Part of it, even this morning, I was up early, because I was kind of anxious about this, because I know for many of you, this is new. You know, perhaps you've never done this before, or perhaps some of you have shared with me, you've not had a good experience with the laying on of hands. And what I heard in that prayer, just trust me, John. Just trust me. I know how to, and what I really heard, I've been doing this for a very long time. I literally heard those words, just trust. And I think those are words for us, to just trust. And so I made a promise to God that any church that I would be pastoring from that moment on, I promised to pause and invite God's people up to God's altar rail for just a gentle laying on of hands and a prayer for a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm convinced that Jesus and the disciples, they would frequently get away to a quiet place for an R&R, Lake Galilee B&B, if you will. And I'm also convinced that in their humanness, they would get tired just like us when we are really busy. And that it was a time where Jesus himself would be refilled with a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the same thing for the disciples. So I wasn't taught this at seminary. Tim, you probably weren't either and didn't experience there. It was really, really good preparation for parish ministry. But this is just so, so basic. The three churches, St. Mark's in Vermont, St. James in Black Mountain, and Good Shepherd in Hayesville, We did this every Pentecost Sunday. And my big question was, Lord, is anybody going to come up? I said, Lord, please, please let the people be free to come up. Please, please let the people be free. And when I was stunned from the very first time. I think it began to resonate with the people that we are the body of Christ, you and I. And the body of Christ always needs a refilling, a refreshing of that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's all this is about, this refilling, refreshment, equipping for us for ministry. And so it is Pentecost Sunday. And so my brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you, I need to keep my promise to the Lord. I invite you just at this moment, just to come forward and Tim and I, as you stand or kneel at the altar rail, and we'll just say a very simple prayer of a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so your amen was a yes.